And all God's people said, wow. Yeah? Mom's in the back. Yeah, you heard me tell Brett, his mom's in the back. Mom is always watching, even when she's not in the back, you people. You know that, don't you? Do I need to say anything after that? Wow. Listen, I have such a good team. John and I joke a lot about who's the best because he keeps having more people in worship when he preaches. And the other day, in fact, twice this week, someone came into my office and someone this morning asked some questions. And I said, you'll have to ask Kate. And the guy said, seems like every time we have a question, you or John say we have to ask Kate. Who's in charge here? Nathan says it's definitely Kate. I can see most of you. It's dark partly for the broadcast. It helps people at home see this early in the morning. I'd like to hear, what is your all-time favorite Easter candy? Somebody tell me. Well, wait a minute. What was that in the back, Sloan?
Reese's eggs.
Canterbury bunny eggs. Anybody remember when they came out with the chocolate-filled ones for a little while? Woo. Somebody else? Who remembers the Russell Stover's bird nest? David, that's my favorite. Love those. If you're shopping and there's extras left over, please feel free. Please feel free. Yes. Wow, it's Easter. Again. And like John said, what a wonderful day at the park. It's almost like Easter should be outside, shouldn't it? And the darkness here will play into a big piece in a few minutes. But we know it's a celebration. We know this is our day. This is our Passover. This is our super holiday. This is where we dress our children. Gosh, there were little kids at the park and pigtails and little rompers and the best shoes in the world. Love Easter Sunday because little girls will come up and say, look at my shoes. When Hannah was little, probably Harper's age, Matt, and she would say, Dad, you're supposed to notice my hair and my shoes. So I just naturally walk up to girls and go, nice shoes, yeah. Not because I'm a mere male, but just because Hannah said that that's what you noticed. It's a new day. It's the beginning of a new day, and we know it's that because we've already read the book. We've already read the story. We already know the end. Can you go back in time with me to a dark place, to where they had no Bible? You want to talk about faith. Faith's not that hard for us. All these people had were the eyes, the voice, and the expression of Jesus. That's it. These people had probably never laid their hands, put their paws on a scroll of the Old Testament as we know it. They had nothing but the eyes and the expression and the touch of Jesus to believe in. Let me see your happy faces. Yeah, you know, one of my first jobs was a clown, so my happy face kind of like like this. David, where's yours? I know he was a clown back then, yeah. Now let me see your sad face. I do this with kids. There you go. You could be a toddler right now. There's no doubt. But go back in time with me. We put all of our heart into Jesus. We watched him touch people that have never been touched. We watched him sit down with folks that the ordinary, the pretty people of the day said, stay away from. He hung out with us. And if you're a female in the building today, you had place. You were valued. You were trusted by Jesus. You put your whole heart, you jumped into the deep end of the pool that this could be the one. This could be the Messiah. This could be the answer to everything we've always looked for. And then he died. He was the one who was going to deliver us from them. And then he died. But it really wasn't them, it was us. If you were here a Good Friday, you heard John talk about the inciting of the crowd and how easy it is for us to jump into the swimming pool of anger and bitterness and angst. Everything we put our heart into is gone. Some of us watched him die. The women knelt at the cross. They looked up. And we always picture on a hill far away. Reality is the crucifixions tended to take place in the marketplace. They would be somewhere on the outskirts because you can't do it inside the holy place. But maybe in that same area where they also bought the lamb, maybe in that same zone. And Jesus probably wasn't way up there, but the ladies who knelt at the cross probably could very closely come to touching his feet, wrapping their arms around. Everything they believed had been put there. All our Easter eggs were in one basket, and he's gone. Some of you know the pain of losing someone dear to you, or the prospects of losing someone dear to you. The feelings are huge, aren't they? You're angry. They left you. They betrayed you. You're hurt because they're gone. The older we get, the more likely we are to lose our best and sometimes only friend. If you're in your 90s, not that many friends left. And when you lose that person, you lose your buddy. They wake up, and it's sad. It's dark. The gospel tells us very early in the morning, the sun is cracking above the hills. It's the first day of the week. The holy time is over. How we would have loved to have tended to his body right after death. How we would have loved to have been there. As someone who's seen a lot of death, I know the tender care that nurses' aides, sometimes paramedics, give to the body of someone who mattered to someone. They take out to the tomb and they bring their spices. We couldn't do it then, but now 3 days later, we're going in there and we're going to take care of him. We're going to put the spices and wrap him. It's been 3 days, ladies. I know, but it's the right thing to do. We're going there. They arrive and they're sad and they're heartbroken, but it's the right thing to do. Nobody wants to go into the three-day-old tomb. Nobody wants to go into that space, but they will. And then there's the other heartache. The stone is gone. The tomb is empty. They look in, they walk in, there's nothing. There's the linen robes with which he was covered. We can't even tend to his body. We can't even say goodbye. We can't even hold him one last time. They didn't know what this meant. They didn't know what had happened. But when all else fails, you can do the right thing. And they tried so hard and they failed at that. But then suddenly, there's two men standing right beside them, and they're glowing. The brightness just beams off of their clothes. The women are frightened. They bow their faces to the ground, but then the men talk to them. Isn't that interesting? They bowed their faces to the ground. How many of you get frightened really bad? You know, you see the snake, you see the lizard, you see. One day I'm changing a light socket at one of my churches, and I'm sitting on the ground working on it, and my leg's out like this. And as I look down, I see the tail end of a salamander. Do you know what the tail end of a salamander looks like? Yes, it's a snake, Barry. It runs up my pants leg. Not outside, inside. Do you know what I did with that screwdriver working on the light socket? Woo! I jumped. I shook. I ran until that lizard fell out. How many of you, that's your response? But what about these ladies? They bow their heads. They sense a holy moment. Something bigger than them is taking place. Yes, they are frightened. But we all know the word reverence and fear are synonymous. There's something that scares them so much they know it must be divine. Wow. They enter and they hear the voice say, "Why are you looking for someone who's alive amongst the dead? Why are you looking for the living here?" Why? Their fear has now turned to conversation. They're having a conversation with these glowing adults, with these bright and shining that you can't hardly look at. It's like these lights. I know Barry's there, but I can't see him unless I do this. They hold their hand up and they go, there you are. What's happening here in this space? And here's what they say. Remember. Ever tell your kids? Remember whose you are. Remember where you came from. Yeah, you've heard that a time or two in your life. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee. The human one. The way I translate that is the one like you. The human one, the Son of Man, God as one of us, would be handed over to bad people, to sinners. Spend time with that again. Who crucified Jesus? The church. He would be handed over to who? Sinners. The church crucified. Ooh, did anybody just go there in their heads? And he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. Well, there's some news. Even back in the early day, conspiracy theories thrived. You know, there were theories that Jesus really didn't die. They called it the swoon theory, that he just fainted real good. And he fainted so hard that even when they stuck him with a spear, he didn't wake up. Does that sound like a conspiracy theory? Remember the last one, one of the last ones I heard, that John F. Kennedy was going to come back to Dallas, Texas? Wow. People went to see. And now, here we are. Some people said he was stolen. He didn't really die. He escaped. He woke up. They're bewildered. They've had a holy moment and they wonder, how could it be? Again, you know and you understand because you can say, well, the Bible says he rose again. But they don't have any of that. And so they return to the tomb and they report to the other 11 and the others. Hey guys, guess what? He's gone. And the being, the angel, the messenger says, he's risen. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. Do you guys know what this means? Do you understand what's happening? It was Mary, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, mother of Jesus. And there were other women. And they told, we saw it. He's gone. Nothing there. And then we saw the angel. And the angel said, he's up. He's Adam. What's plausible? Because they've seen Lazarus get up. They've watched him heal. It happens. So when you doubt, my children, remember. I know the Bible says, but hear it this simply. When you doubt, when you're afraid, when you question, remember what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Remember what Jesus said and remember what Jesus did. That's what the angel told these ladies. Remember what he said. See his face. See the expressions. Gosh, you think that would be enough for the disciples, wouldn't you? You think that would raise... Let's ask another question real quick. When the women left at the dawn of the day to go encounter the Romans who guarded the tomb, where were the men? I hear women laughing. Men were going, well... Honey, you go on and do those spice things and we'll be praying for you from under the bed. We're going to lock that door and stay behind it. Yeah, that's another story for another day. But look what they did. The guys in hiding, the guys who didn't go to the tomb, the guys who could have saw the angel. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense. And they didn't believe the women. You see what I put on the slide? Blah, 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 blah. Men, if you've ever said that, shame on you. Okay? Women, if you've ever heard them say that, shame on them. This is the human frailty. What I don't understand about God can't be right. If you say something that I disagree with, it must not be right. If you say something I don't understand, it must not be right. When they said nonsense, another way to translate that is foolishness, hooey, nothing to pay attention to, the witness of the Spirit. And what's happening here is if they don't see it for themselves, if they don't experience it for themselves, they cannot hear it in the testimony of others. And some of us will read our Bibles and we'll go, well, I just can't believe that. Women are asking the apostles, the 11, the ones who walked with Jesus, to believe that very thing. Note to self. Listen carefully to the thoughts of others. For no matter how certain I am that I am right, I may still be wrong. Can you go there? These are the ones who walk the closest to Jesus. These were the ones he picked. These are the ones hand chosen to change the world. He's alive. No, he's not. He's not in the tomb. Well, then somebody took him. These are the most faithful. Peter jumps and runs. He runs to the tomb. He bends over and he looks inside. He sees nothing. He missed the angel, didn't he? And so he goes home and he wonders what happened. He wonders what happened. I wonder, was Jesus right? I tell folks often when you read your Bible, if you find it contradictory, go back to your Jesus. Look at how Jesus acted. For if the Bible doesn't line up with the personality of Jesus, it's probably not Jesus that's wrong. Right? Now here's the thing. My last slide for you today. I want to believe, but that's Peter. That's the 11. I want to believe you, ladies, but it sounds silly. I want to believe that Jesus is alive, but my head tells me it cannot be. I saw Lazarus, but this cannot happen. I know what he said, but. And yet, we heard the words of Jesus say, on this rock, I will build my church. On the hard-headed, rock-like brain of Peter. On the stubborn, do not believe it unless I see it. Do not pay any attention to the women. Go see for myself and come home bewildered. That's what Jesus chose. What does that mean for you and I? You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have all the answers. You will probably find more uncertainty in your faith than certainty. That's why it's called faith. There will be things you don't understand and things you don't want to believe and things you don't want to buy into. That thing about loving your neighbors as yourself, most of us would prefer that line's not in there. Tomorrow's tax day, isn't it? Yeah. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Oh, shoot. I better put the rest of that money on my tax return. You get it? Every day, there are doubts and fears, and there are certainly I don't want to's. I know it says, but. And for some reason, God said, that's who I want to change the world. I want the doubters, the wanderers, the sinful. I want the uncertain and the frightened and the wounded and the broken. If you heard me, on Monday, Thursday, he picked enemies to change the world. For Matthew was a tax collector. Simon the Zealot was willing to kill tax collectors. Peter, James, and John were just common fishermen who Matthew probably robbed. And he put them all together and said, there you go, kids. Play well. Play nice. And you read the book of Acts carefully, and they really struggled with playing nice. But when it's all said and it's all done, this is what you have. For some reason, in the midst of everything you wonder, question, and become frightened of, Jesus picked you. You are the disciple. And when you can own that, just like Peter, and you walk away from whatever darkness you've experienced or are experiencing, and you walk back to the house, and you go, I just don't understand, but I will keep believing. Your what's next is beginning to take shape. Can you hear it? Breathe deep. Feel the presence of God. Feel the presence of God touching whatever your part is that's broken. Wherever you have been wounded by someone, or whether you ever you have wounded someone, look into the innocent eyes of children and how they can doubt one minute and believe the next. Do you remember your first dive off the diving board? Do you remember talking to your kids, "It's okay, Philip, jump, head first, go, but I'm scared," and you watch them tense, and they tense, and then finally he does, and it's not really a head first dive. We tell them it is, but it's not. It's what we call a belly flop. But they went in, scared, doubtful, wondering, knowing they're going to drown, and they come up, and they swim. That's life. That's life. That's faith. If you have to have it all together to believe, you probably don't believe. He is risen. He is risen. And we celebrate it because we know it. But now we must go out and live it because we know it. We must act it, and we must give grace, and we must share the news. And when we're afraid, we must gather together, hiding under the bed, still praying. And the women go and they come back. It's humanity, people. Watch the news. Humans behaving badly. And yet God picked us. There you go. God picked us. I wonder, what's next for us? What happens next? I remember coaching Little League. I went to a draft once and I didn't like it. Some of the coaches had already had their teams picked, and they'd picked their assistant coaches not because they'd ever show up, because they wanted their kid because he could hit the ball well. Believe it or not, there were some coaches who picked their kids on how pretty the mothers were. I kid you not. I decided after that year I'd just take whatever was left. And every year I got those kids. And every year we won a better than half of our games. I think it's because I was one of those kids. And somewhere in my head, Jesus picked me in spite of me. If you can find that feeling, the whole world changes. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Amen.